Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica. June, how are you?
I'm okay. You know, we're talking twice in a week this week.
Yeah.
And laying it down, laying down the tracks. And, you know, it's so funny, Deep Divers, because I'm like, I feel like we're, you know, it's a lot for us to meet our minds together two times in a week. It feels like too much.
It does.
You know?
Because
I feel like you might need a little break from me.
You know what? It's actually quite the opposite. You probably need a break from me. You're always going to need a break from me before I'm going to need a break from you.
Okay.
Because I have told you that if we could live in a cul-de-sac, I would.
Yeah.
Well, if I could, too, if we could though, all Jess. Sleep in the same room on vacation, I've always lobbied for that. I am the last to leave at our girls' nights. Like everybody gets in their car and I'm still sitting in mine, like waiting, I don't know for what, for everyone to forget that they left something and we can start it all again. Like I will never, ever get enough.
I understand that. And it's so funny because this morning I had the most wonderful morning. Even though I just told you I'm like emotionally zapped, but
yeah.
I had the most wonderful morning. And I think the reason why I did was because I got to walk to school to drop off Gus with a friend who he lives down the block with his kids. And we all walk together, which we do quite often. But so there is that feeling. And then right before I was set to walk back, I asked two other friends, you know, the Saxes.
Yes.
Adam, Saxe, and Molly.
Yes.
To drive me to Coffee Bean and to get coffee together. And so it was so nice to see them and jump in their car. And then on the way back, I ran into Jessica Chaffin right outside my house as they were dropping me off.
With the baby?
Well, I had no idea. And she said, I thought St. Clair told you. And I, my mind was like, I was all over the place.
Like, who cares about Lilibet? Because this baby is bringing royal realness to this, elevating the baby game. And for those of you who have not been introduced to Jessica Chaffin's genius, Ask Rana is her podcast where she plays basically her mother. We have to have her on to talk about her mom because she is playing her mother.
I still do not think I've seen a character as realized.
You haven't.
I really don't think I have. And I just find Jessica Chaffin to be one of the most brilliant minds that we have.
I agree 100%.
So we all jumped out of the car and saw her and talked on the street for a long time. And we could talk about Jessica for hours and we should actually, but to me, it was a perfect morning because I felt together within like community. Yes.
And oh, I'm so jealous.
And that to me is all I want. All I want is to run it. And Jessica actually said, you know, oh, I didn't know you lived here. I'll stop by. And I said, don't. She goes, I'm going to text before I come. And I said, don't.
I
want to hear ding dong. And I want to see you at my door with your baby. And I want to invite you inside. And I want to have a cup of coffee. And she said, are you serious? And I said, listen to me.
Yeah.
It's all I want is to feel held within community, to feel that we're all together here. You know, it's all I want.
God, it's so funny you're on this tip because I was thinking exactly the same thing. And I'm in the Carrie Bradshaw is in Paris and she's looking in on the girlfriends. Do you remember that moment where she is sad? She's moved to Paris to be with Baryshnikov. And she...
Which I never bought that love story, but that's... Again,
I don't think they got along. I couldn't stand that relationship.
I didn't want it. I didn't want her with a dancer. I didn't want it for her.
I didn't want
Who
any
was asking
it.
For that?
Nobody. And it was like, it disgusted me. It truly disgusted me.
It disgusted me too.
It disgusted me.
Why did they do that to us?
We have all of
On
the
our
options. Off-times?
All the options in the
all
world.
All of the options. But listen, was he a perfect foil? Like, was he the perfect man to come between her and her friends? Because we wanted him to be thrown out. And don't get me started about the Miranda fight, that Lennon and I talk about this fight every 5 seconds because it's one of the most beautifully scripted things outside of the funeral where she says, you don't want me to go.
I feel like I'm crying. I feel like I'm starting to cry right now. Don't get me started on the funeral. Don't ever bring that up again.
And she says,
ever bring it up again.
Then don't you go to Paris with him. And she walks away.
You've turned away from me. Please don't do that this morning.
Well, you just started talking about community and I am her. So you don't remember this moment, I don't think. But she calls, she picks up, she's walking around Paris and she feels lonely and she knows that it's a mistake, I think, to have moved
there. They
had
no chemistry on screen and I'm going to say it.
I don't think they cared for each other. I think I heard that from somebody. I don't know who. And understood. But why is he even on screen?
Like, why is he on screen? Be in a theater. Let us look at you from 60 feet away. Okay.
Don't talk.
Don't ever speak.
But she goes to the payphone.
Didn't we see him in tights like multiple times?
We did.
Like, what? That was a fucking hate crime. Like, what? Why?
I guess he was an archetype of the relationship you have with an older man. And like, there's something about it where he's making you like a French press or something. I don't know. But she goes to a payphone to call her friends, to call Charlotte or Miranda. I think it was Miranda. And nobody picks up. And then she stops and she sees some girls having breakfast together.
I'm remembering this. Like Yes,
through the
French
glass.
Version. Of course, I'm remembering this.
And she stares in. And so when I was thinking, what am I going to say when Jude says, how am I? I'm homesick for my girls. I'm really homesick for you girls today. Listen, being Belle from Beauty and the Beast certainly has its privileges. And I've gotten 3 bread products today, fresh bread products. 3.
Yeah.
Three separate trips to different bakeries. Mm-hmm. But I miss being able to just laugh and like be with a group of women that I feel comfortable with, you know? So I miss you guys. And I also feel like I don't know yet where my community is at home, you know, because we want to move out of the condo. Yeah. And I am still really thinking about selling it while we're here. And I've even toyed with staying here for the spring it is the time to sell. And I've been like, you know, BB loves her school here. I'm like, maybe I'll just like wait it out, wait this pandemic out. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then today I was like, oh no, I feel like I will. And Dan has been saying this to me. He goes, first of all, the darkness will envelop you. Secondly, you can't live without your girlfriends. I don't think you understand because it's not just that I can't see you guys. I can't talk to anybody because I'm only awake for 30 minutes before you guys go to sleep.
I was about to text you last night and I was like, no, it's good. What if her phone's on? It's the middle of the night.
Yes, like there are some friends that I need to like get eyes on, but I can't even, I'm like, call me at, 9:30 at night. I don't know. But yeah, where that sense of community, and I'm kind of thinking to myself too, it's like the way we grew up was physical community, closeness, proximity.
Yes.
And I know Los Angeles is a different city. And I feel like, I don't know how much we have that physical closeness anymore. And maybe we don't need to have that. Maybe it's about finding, is it the school that gives you that kind of anchor? And then right. you don't have to be on a cul-de-sac with somebody. I don't right. know. But I've never felt so kind of untethered in the world, location-wise, right now. I'm untethered and I'm living in the question of where.
And I think that, you know, I've always said this about Casey, one of the most beautiful qualities she has, she leads such a big life, as do you yeah. and I as well. You know, public lives, mm-hmm. I think doing multiple different things. And I am so grateful for that. And I've always felt called to that, as has Casey. But there are, you know, what truly brings me so much joy is like those little experiences and the smaller parts of life and connection and feeling together. And I do think that I am finding that more and more in my neighborhood and investing mm-hmm. in those relationships. Mm-hmm. And I have the love. I'm so grateful. I have the loveliest people surrounding our home.
That's both, it. Both that's everything. Next.
Yeah, it really is.
Like when people are looking for a house, they should knick knock on those
yes,
doors.
Absolutely.
Either way, because that can make or break a house.
Absolutely.
And we were always close to our neighbors. Always. My mother always. It was because my mother is a connector. Always, always, always. We were best friends. We knew we were in and out of each other's houses. Even if the kids were the different age, I was babysitting, you know, no one was able to throw a party without getting, you know, ratted on. It wasn't great in that sense, but.
Wait, yeah, but it is important.
You found your forever home and I haven't found mine
Listen,
yet. And
maybe,
I'm putting it out
not.
In the universe.
Like, I will say I'm also not, I don't know. As much as I say, I am really invested in the neighborhood, the school, and all of that. But I'm also, I don't know. I'm also open to other experiences. Yeah. Okay. And I don't feel, that's where I feel like kind of divorced from my parents from the way I grew up, because we lived in the same house for,
yeah,
I mean, my whole life. Right. Sort of my sister, like we all lived there in one house. And I don't feel like that's necessarily what the rest of my life will look like. Like right. I imagine, and I'm excited that we could have new experiences in other places. But I do hope that Jessica shows up unannounced.
Yes.
Now listen, I've said this before. When I throw a party, if someone shows up early, I'm very angry.
Well, no, I mean, you never should show up. Well, first of all, I'm never going to be early, but you should, the French say 15 minutes, at least, minimum.
And Jessica, I will tell you, and I'm not going to reveal their name.
I have a couple on my list. I can show up 5 minutes, 10 minutes early. I don't care if you got here early.
Okay. Sit in your fucking car. Sit in
exactly.
your motherfucking car and put on
wait.
A podcast.
That's right. Don't you show up at my
don't
house
you,
early.
Don't you
even
dare.
Darken it my is, doorstep.
It is the most.
The rudest thing. Don't
it
come
is the
at all.
Thing you
if you're
going to
come early, don't come
don't
at all.
Come. Honestly, I'd rather you not show up. Because to me, what it says is like, it's like, those last minute things, and actually don't show up on time.
No, come. Like I said, in France, you do not come before 15 minutes has passed.
It's so fucking rude.
But here's the thing, and we're going to get a lot of takes on this, because I think the early people feel like they're doing you, like they are
Ow.
Doing the right thing. They are
by
saying,
showing up early?
Well, they're saying, I appreciate you know, you so much that you said it's 2 p.m. and we're here at 1:55. Like if you were going to have an interview, you want to get there early. Now, you and I, as we know, I rolled in 20 minutes late to a callback, you know, wearing a dirty tank top and you were putting your eyeliner on in the waiting room.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And there was the other girl had been there for an hour preparing.
Yep. Didn't get the part. I mean, neither did I. You did.
We'll be right back.
And I did just have an experience where someone showed up early to a small gathering and I could not look at her.
Yeah.
For about 2 hours. And I actually said to Paul, like, I'm going to need, he just got these like canned drinks. They're called canned and they've got CBD in them. I said, you're going to need to give me one of those. And he's
how
like,
are
okay,
they, by the way?
They're amazing. Life-changing.
They're called CANN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's 2 milligrams of THC or CBD or whatever. And I was like, give me a double.
Well, yeah.
Like, I need to dull my worry. It built up a pretty strong tolerance during the big panorama. So I was like, I can't look at her.
Okay.
Because in those 20 minutes, what I was planning on doing, and get this, Jessica, what happened was I was actually on a walk with Doug. And I came back to my own home and ready to do my last minute things, like put on my fucking makeup.
Oh, God.
Into my clothes, like put on my shit. And I didn't have the key on the dog leash. So I rang the doorbell and ding dong.
She's already there.
To my own home. And I'm welcomed by my guest, who is 20 minutes early.
20 minutes?
20 minutes. And I...
Were they coming from afar? Like, were they coming far afield?
No.
I can't understand that.
No.
Wow, this is like a...
To me, it's the height of disrespect.
It is. Truly.
It really now, is. To do that to a woman, like, I'm doing my last minute things. I wanted to light candles. I wanted to... I was just like, let's call it. Like, let's fucking cancel this bullshit event. Like, seriously, because I'm so mad. And it's hard to see a hostess mad. You know,
it's not a great look.
And no, it's really not a great look.
So is you not with any makeup on at your own party. That's also not a great look. What did you do? Did you keep her downstairs? Were you like, I have to go put my face on? Like, can you give me a second? And then you're rushing.
No, I was rushing and I couldn't make eye contact and I was angry, you know, and I was openly resentful.
Yeah.
And I was openly bitchy. And I'm like, I stand behind that because I was just like, you asked for this.
That's right.
You know, I'm fucking pissed, man. Like, I am pissed.
Yeah. If this was Game of Thrones time, you would have slit her throat.
Yeah. And now, unless you are my sister.
That's what I'm saying. When you are in the family, show up whenever you want because I don't care if you see my house looking insane. Yeah. You know? Like,
actually, I'm going to put some parameters around that family, though. Unless you are my sister.
Okay.
One of my sisters.
Okay.
I do not want you here early. Okay.
See, and I'm talking, when you say sister, I'm like, okay, right. Because if Lennon shows up, of course.
Casey shows up, fine.
Fine.
I don't want you here early. I got to be honest with you.
I won't be there. Like, I don't.
I don't think I have to worry about that.
Like, you don't. You'll worry if I'm there. You should hope I'm there by hour two. Like, I roll in when the party is hitting.
We got a husband behind you.
Get the fuck out of here.
So I do feel like we opened a bit of a Pandora's box with Dan. Like, after we had him on, like, so he just feels comfortable now coming in and out.
Yeah, and everybody's DMing me. Oh, so moving. You know, God, I love these poems. I'm like, oh, God.
So many DMs.
And then he got a lot, like, he's like, the book is like out of stock. He's like, wow, I got a real bump from the old DD. And I'm like,
wow, D squared. Yeah. D squared converts to sales.
He is now, you understand, like, poetry books do not sell many copies. He's in like a fourth printing. Like, they're trying to gather like an old fashioned printing press and like try to get some out, you know?
Well, I am happy to hear that. And Deep Divers, this is actually, it is a lovely book. And I don't know how Dan would prefer us to read it. But I'm doing something interesting with his poetry book, which is like I'm picking it up from time to time. And I actually have it right here on my desk. And it's nice to like flip through and read.
I'm having like a nice experience. It takes you can also read it as I did, like a novel.
Okay, so I haven't done that yet.
No, but that's what I love is you can do that. You can jump in wherever you want. That's what I love about poetry. It takes no more than 60 seconds to read a poem.
Yeah, it's your type of reading.
That's my type of reading. Yeah. But yeah, this book, one of the reasons I love it is that it does, it reads like a novel. His poems are also very, he's going to hate it that I say conversational, but they are, they're not esoteric poems where you have to like, you know, have a,
right.
a footnote, you know,
a legend. Yeah.
Fuck that shit. You know, I don't have time for that. But yeah, they are, he's going to be in and out, I guess.
Yeah. It does seem like the space has been penetrated.
Yeah. And then Paul, when is he going to say, when's my time?
Well, I'll tell you, as soon as we started recording, I heard my phone ringing. So yeah. I don't know what he's after, but he's called during it. So it does still does feel like we don't quite have a room of one's own yet. Oh, no, I just heard him come in. Yeah.
We never will.
But to just get back to that, Jess, I don't know. We're here, we're there, we're everywhere. But I don't like people showing up early. I know we've talked about it before. But I do hope, I do like people dropping by. And that's a very different thing.
Now, would just give me that yeah. I can't wrap my mind around that.
So it's only happened a couple times because you're right. We live in a city, you know, mm-hmm. but the idea that Chaffin would drop by on a walk and with I might not be able to, you know, I might be recording, I might be doing something, but if I'm doing anything that I can stop, nothing would bring me greater joy than to say, come on in and have a cup of coffee with me.
Well, that's an unexpected visit, which is nice because there's no expectations.
That's what I'm saying. So the house looks like shit. Everything looks, I look like shit. Like that's great. And I would love it. Like actually Nick Kroll during the pandemic was, he had stopped by a few times and it was just such a delight to
love that.
Have a stop by, you know, and I love that. No, I don't know if I'm welcome to stop by others' homes.
Well, you know, BB and I do make ourselves really comfortable in other people's houses, and my two pandemic pod families, I feel very comfortable just breezing by. The other thing I like is one of my families. There are two that we potted with. They have an outdoor patio in their front. It's like a stoop almost, but
that's
it's
lovely.
They're always out there. So what's really nice, that's a good thing to think about when I'm looking for my forever home. It's nice to have a place where you can receive people that mm-hmm. isn't your inner sanctum. So you don't really need to worry about it if your house kind of looks crazy.
Yep. That's a great point. We have like a little balcony off of my office. Yeah, that's a nice space.
Just like, hey, come in. You can just kind of usher them. Don't look at the living room. Come out
back.
Don't
look at the beds. They're not made.
Don't look at the
breakfast plates are still there.
Who cares?
Yeah.
If there's a party, if you are throwing a party, the expectation should be that your house looks good, that you should have your beds made. And because you know, that party is happening. If someone drops by, it should be like, I'm okay with my house looking lived in.
Yes, totally.
Right?
Yes. And I guess what I feel like the message it sends to me when people stop by is, again, it's that sense of like, we all belong here, you know?
That's what I'm, I crave it. I crave it. I'm going to find it.
I'm going to just put something out there, Jess. Like, I would love to look in my neighborhood for a home for you.
I know. I think
and talk about like, why can't we have that? Why can't we commit to that? Why can't we say like, oh, maybe you're going to be right around the block?
Right. Why do I feel I need to be so far from the people I love the most?
I don't. Well, I know you have a love affair with the beach and I respect that and the water.
I mean,
water sort of,
but I'm not Matthew McConaughey. I mean, I really like, I don't know.
All right.
Like the, you know, a curl, like a swim in the morning. I'm not like, up. Like I go months without ever seeing the ocean, even though it's 20 blocks from my house. Okay. I mean, it's just like where, I think it's just like where you settle first. It's like the settlers, you know, some people were lucky enough to like stop their wagon train, you know, at like at the, where the gold rush happened. And the other ones are stuck in, you know, in like the Badlands, you know, no offense to the deep divers out there in the hashtag Badlands, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay. So may I send some listings your way,
please?
Okay, great. Because I do think like, it's really fine to say, I want to be together. I want to be closer. I want to be closer in proximity. I want my people around me. This is, it does make a huge impact. I mean, I remember reading somewhere that the cities where, and you know, obsessed I am with walking to school and having kids walk to school, because I especially think for boys, like getting energy out on their way there, right brain, left brain, like I think it's such an important experience to walk to school, to like breathe in the air, see the houses.
Everybody walks to school in London.
I
know that.
Love that.
The sidewalk is teeming with children in uniforms. And it is the cutest thing.
Oh,
and
Bibi
and I leave, of course, with not enough time to get there on time. But do we stop for a little pain au chocolat on our way? Couple bites, a little sparkling water, taking in the sights, all the people, you know, putting out their wares. You know what I mean? And then you've entered the world before you've entered school.
How horrifying
is it to be thrown in a car and then you're just at school? Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That's, you're right.
Yep.
Wow.
Now listen, we do have a lot of panic getting out in time still.
Of course.
But, and you know, often we are driving, but on the days we're not, I do know that it's better and it's wonderful and it's what I want. And I do think like, it is what we want. We do want to be closer together. We do, and we can be.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So deep divers, we have a very, very special conversation coming up with my dear friend Retta, and I am so excited for you to hear it. We are going to be talking to Retta in just a minute, and we are so excited for you to hear this conversation. And Jess, I'm going to ask you like for some of your Redfin and Zillow filters and what we're narrowing in on. And I'm just going to like see what I can see.
Great. Okay. Let's
get closer together. Yeah. Let's get closer together.
Let's live in the
question. Yeah.
All right.
Deep divers, boy, do we have a special guest. This is a really exciting day for me and Jessica. A woman by the name of Retta, who you all may know from Parks and Rec, Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, Good Girls, her memoir, as Kris Jenner would pronounce it, memoir. So close to being the shit y'all don't even know. And I want to talk about that for a second. And the host of the upcoming HGTV show, Ugliest House in America, airing in January of 2022. Please, deep divers.
Oh, that sounds so good.
I know. We're going to get into it all. Welcome, Retta.
Wait for that.
Hi, Retta.
Hey, girls. How's it going?
You know, pretty good. We had a bumpy start there. We were we had some tech issues. We were just discussing, you know, the assumption from the world that now just civilians like ourselves, artists, should be responsible and knowing of all tech issues and troubleshooting on our own. And you were absolutely right. It's a tall order.
And I've said, Retta, that we are too good looking to know this much about technology, right? The better looking you are, the least you know. So welcome.
Why, thanks.
You're right at home.
I must be looking good because
it
was
you are
a shit show to start.
We're in. Sheesh. We're recording. We're in. Your background looks beautiful.
God, that mantle game is strong, Retta.
Why,
mantle game is strong. What a gorgeous is your whole house white? Because it's gorgeous, the white on white.
It is cream and gray in the living room.
Oh, thank you.
And then
mommy.
Like mostly gray and it's black and white, like in the kitchen, and black and gray in my media room.
And a little yellow,
like a neutral
and a little
situation.
Sunflower.
And then I like to do a little pop. I like a little pop.
I love
it. Including my fake lemons.
Oh my God, I love fake fruit. I love fake fruit. I love fake plants. I love it all. Oh, if I see a fake fruit, if I see a fake fruit or a fake plant at TJ Maxx, of which there are many there. Great selection, by the way. And I'm not sure where you live, but I will find out the best TJ Maxx closest to you. I gotta snap them up. Gotta snap them up.
Well, Retta, I'm so glad you are with us. And I really appreciate you coming on to the deep dive. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to start off our conversation. You know, I was thinking this morning, I was on my Peloton. I was putting in 45 minutes, intervals and arms with Hannah. And yeah, and I was like, gosh, you know, one of the things that I really want to talk to Retta about are her girlfriends. Because as long as I've known you, and I actually count my sister as my introduction to you.
Yeah.
And Retta was dear friends with my sister, and that's how I met Retta. But I have always known you to have with you, and I just spent some time with one of your girlfriends at an Emmys party I saw you at, but to have surrounding you a really solid group of ladies.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, is there a core group that's been with you the whole time, or is there an LA group?
Like for us, there's a childhood group, right. Then there's some college group, and then we really got serious in LA with some deep 30-something friends.
Yes. So I'm still super tight with my college roommate, college roommates. She's the one, you know, it doesn't matter how long we don't talk. When we talk, it is like tears, laughing, just how stupid we used to be, how stupid we still can be.
I love that.
But my group here, I think it's like evolved. So there's girls that I've been friends with since I first moved here. There's like one friend is from college. She was one of my roommates in college. Mm-hmm. And then just as you go along, you know, there's a core that sticks, that stays tight. So we have
Because I know you still have your Jersey girlfriends, too.
I mean, Rosa's from Jersey, but I don't know Rosa from Jersey.
From New Jersey? Where are you from?
I'm from Cliffwood Beach. I was born in Newark. I lived in Edison up until beginning of high school, and then we moved to Cliffwood Beach. So I went to Mattawan High School.
Oh, come on, Mattawan. Yeah. That's like my dream was to be close to that beach life. I'm from Westfield. I'm from Westfield, which is not far from Edison. I'm in Union County.
Yes.
And this makes perfect sense. You're from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Everybody I know, quite frankly, from New Jersey, even if you're boring, you still have a bit of an edge. You still get that you're part of the joke in some ways.
I feel like New Jersey people are funny.
They're fucking funny. Even the ones who are not.
They're trying.
They're not necessarily trying,
but they're funny as hell.
But you're going to have, when you're checking out at the grocery store, you're going to get into it. A little back and forth, a little, you know, a little comment on the tabloids. You know what I mean? You're going to get into it. And that was the thing when I moved to LA, I missed the most is I would throw a lob out and someone would just let it drop. You know what I mean? But I'm like, we have to talk about the merchandise. We are in this together. And I think it's because New Jersey maybe is always the butt of every joke that we are just sort of have to be solidarity. I don't know. Maybe. But I loved growing up in New Jersey.
I never realized how funny people from Jersey were until I was away from Jersey. Because to me, it was normal. Yes. You know what I mean? It was just who we were. And then when you come here and you meet somebody from Jersey, especially if they still have their Jersey accent, like I don't have my Jersey accent like I used to. It is just entertaining. Just a regular conversation. An annoyed Jersey person. It's not like an annoyed New Yorker. An annoyed New Jersey person.
It's different.
It's just comedy. I feel like June... I mean, I know where are you from? Long Island?
Long Island. It's different though. When we're in New Jersey, we never go to Long Island. You have to understand, I never set foot on the island of Long.
No.
Until, I don't know if I ever have.
Until I went to visit.
Yeah, you were at my childhood home in Long Island.
That's the first time I was in Long Island.
Yeah.
Yes, we don't go.
I've driven through it. Sure. I've never stopped in it. And I was like, oh, it's like Jersey.
It's like Jersey.
But it's so
that's
interesting because
right.
I don't have the same level of affection that you two have.
Oh, not that I have an affection. No. I don't want to live in Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't either.
But I love Jersey people.
Jersey folks
are hilarious.
I don't find the same to be true of Long Island. I couldn't make that statement. You know, it wouldn't feel right. Well, it just wouldn't feel right. I in my mind, I saw like all these Jersey girls around you. And I was like,
no,
it felt very comforting, but you didn't meet her there.
No. Rose is the only Jersey girl that's like in my life. One of my best friends from high school, Jenny, she's in Northern Jersey for work. And so we still kind of talk. We don't get to see each other much. When she comes out here for work, we go to dinner. But she's the only one that I really like keep in touch with. And it's not like my core girls here.
So I will tell you both in full honesty that I had, I don't know. Yeah, for a very long time, I had a 516 area code in my cell phone.
Is that Long Island?
He sure is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people, when I gave out my cell phone number, like would need to deal with that, you know, and process it. And it was like, it was so crazy that I was introducing myself that way, you know, because it was what I was trying to get so far away from than to have to say like, this is me, you know,
because then everyone's asking, what is that? I would think that was like Columbus, Ohio. Like, you don't know what is a 516. Right. That's nothing.
And so then I would always have to report it's Long Island. It's my Long Island number, you know.
That's crazy.
And it was not what I wanted for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Retta, I've long admired, and I feel this way too, obviously, about my girlfriends, how you've surrounded yourself and seem to surround yourself with so many incredible women who are so supportive of, and they are so supportive of you. And I just think it's so special. And I'm curious, like, how are you nurturing these friendships? Is it because lives are full, work is work, there's a lot going on? Like, is it, you know, are there standing times you're meeting? Is it catch as catch can?
One of the big things is Christmas.
Tell me more.
I do a Christmas party with my girls. I used to do a party and, you know, just at a club. And before that, I would do something with the girls and then we'd all go to the party.
Like a pre-prom. Party. Yeah.
And so we would do a dinner and a gift exchange. And then it got to a point I was like, it's too much in one night. So one night would just be the girls.
One location,
and it evolved because I started, you know, in a studio apartment. So it was small. And a lot of the girls were girls from college that lived here. Cause I didn't know a lot of people. So as, you know, relationships grew, things fell away, people moved away, you know, the group changed. And then when I moved to my condo, the place I lived before here, I kind of had stopped doing that group. And there was a group of girls that I used to hang out with all the time and hang out at the bar or whatever. And so we started doing a Christmas thing. And then those relationships, things were changing. People were getting married, moving away, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same tight group. And I was like, I'm doing my old Christmas party.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's when I started with, you know, my motherfucking girls. And that group has stayed pretty tight. So we have a group text. And here's the thing. Here's what I love about this specific group is that all of them know me. Like, that's how we all came together. But, like, they've all gotten tight and, you know, we'll do things off, you know, like, I love that my friend Britt and Heather, who met through Christmas party, are like tight and they're like, oh, me and Heather went to such and such. I love, and they're always like, I just love this group of girls. Because we kind of, I found the circle that we all get that. Each other. We're very supportive. It. Someone's looking for a job. Everybody's texting. What's available, that kind of thing. So, you know, if somebody's going through some shit, where we do a separate text.
Yes, I love There's the a separate, separate text.
We're like, what sometimes do we need to get her?
Sometimes there are splinters. Sometimes there are even, like, depending on who's having the hard time, sometimes you got to splinter off to these two people who are the closest. Let's talk about this. Right. Or sometimes you splinter off and go, hey, heads up, someone just said this on the text. I think we need to dial back on that angle. Let's go in here. And you're like, but oh, it's my also God, so
the, it's also like, you know, when my friend Laura's dad died, it was the group text of what are we sending? Who do we need to contact? Whatever, you know, when Rose's brother died, it was the separate group text of there's no flowers in Jersey. How are we getting flowers to the, like, literally there are no flowers in Jersey.
Oh, so come on,
there are no working on how Jersey.
Jersey, get it to fuck.
Yeah, there are no flowers in Jersey.
In her, in the Garden State, because her her brother, her family is so known in that area. There was, I mean, you could only get flowers from Wingstop.
Are you kidding me?
Everybody had gotten all the flowers.
Oh,
honestly,
shit.
So literally beautiful had to tribute get, to a life. If, like, the flowers run out in the garden.
There were no flowers available. Yeah. We sent, I think we sent flowers, like, later. You know, and then it was, like, figuring out the food. I was like, okay, this is the address. Tina's like, I'll handle the food. I'll do this. So it was that, it's that kind of thing. Like, you know, very supportive. You know, when do, how long do we need to be sending her Instacart? Until, you know, she doesn't have to think about that kind of thing. So I love that that's where this group, I'm like, these are my girls. This is my people. You know,
this is it for life. It's a little, I feel like it's for life.
Trust that this group text is on silent because
must be.
Once you get started, I literally, I would be like, are we still talking about this? Are we
still talking about this? Yeah, are we still on
how
this?
Many more
it's a
memes.
Lot I mean I will tell you Jessica I haven't silented our group text. We're on a group text with a bunch of other ladies but I won't, but there are some group texts that I'm on that I have to silent.
Well, I'll say this, you went through a little bit of a phase, June, where you were not responding to the group text, and then we started to call you out on it. Like, Casey's like, well, June's never responding, so I don't know what she wants to do or what. And we were like, that's right, she isn't. And then she still wasn't even responding to that. It was like, we're trying to bait you, and you weren't even reading the. And they were like, is she even reading this? Is she even alive? Like, it just, you know, like.
No, it's hard.
Were
it's
you hard reading those when we were coming after you?
I do remember laying my eyes upon them. Sometimes with group texts, what I like to do is wait a few days and then read it like I'm sitting down to a novel.
That's what she does,
girl.
Just
it's
catching
a novel
up
by
on
the
this
end of day.
It's 100%.
I read it like I'm like sitting down with a magazine. Like I'll sit down in a chair and like oh, it's time to go through my texts. You know, I don't experience text as an immediate like
thing. Okay, here's the thing.
Thank you, Retta.
Do you have a lot of red circles on your screen?
I don't know what that
means. What are red circles, Retta?
The alerts. The alerts on your homepage, on your phone, like to say there's new messages, new emails.
Yes.
Yeah. See mine? Clear.
Oh, your shit. Inbox? You've gone clear, Retta. You've gone clear.
I don't. That's messy.
Retta, you've gone clear.
Red circles are messy and they give me anxiety. Yeah. And I got to say, like, we talk about this in our group chat. Recently, I don't want to mess up the recording, but there
don't
is...
Don't mess up the recording, Retta. Something terrible is going to happen.
It's still recording. The girls were sending screen grabs of the... Oh, my God. I have 18 missed texts because of this group.
Love this group.
There... Let me show you. I was like, me and Cindy are of like mind. No red circles. I cannot... Do
it's a t-shirt.
A red circle.
No red circles.
10,000 unread emails. Are you?
That's what I have, Retta.
That's what Jessica has.
Retta, that's what I have. And in fact, I posted a screen grab of something. Yeah.
That's 102,000.
I'll tell you right now.
And it was from 99 oh my God. And it went to 102 while we were texting.
Wait a second. Can I tell you what mine are right now, Retta? 213,334 messages, 169,243 unread. Now, it doesn't mean I haven't read them, but I guess I haven't deleted them or something. I don't know.
No. The red means you didn't read it.
Oh, yeah,
the red means
true.
You didn't read it.
Retta, I'm
13,000. I was like, how? This is the only thing I'm like, how are we not on the same page with this? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because Kim went from 101
to 102 while we were on the dang
That's
text.
Very upsetting. I mean, I'm not and great, but I'm not there.
Here's my thing. But it's also like the anxiety...
You get anxiety for other people even to have it, right? You don't even like that other people have this many
but
unread.
But knowing that I cannot close my eyes. There are times where I'll mark something unread because I know I have to address it. Mm. And so, but
God bless you.
Because I know I can't leave the red dot, I'm going to address it. So there's no possible way.
To run my life.
You guys, and by the way, my folder game in my email.
Oh, shit.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I wouldn't mind getting a screen grab of that. It's strong.
Because I can't just have emails. You're not going to find shit. It's better to search. But my folders, my AOL.
Oh, wow.
Glare.
Oh, there is a glare. Okay.
We can cut this.
There we go.
By the way.
Wow.
See, I'm surprised to hear this.
Folders.
Whoa.
This
Whoa.
Is like the she keeps on fucking scrolling. Red Sea Scrolls. The ancient Sea Scrolls. There's so many.
Wait a second. Time out. Because I'm going to, and I hope it's okay that I say this. We can cut this back. We can cut this out easily. But you did just mention you have an AOL folder. And I have to say,
I
am surprised.
No, I still have AOL.
You still
That's
have
crazy.
AOL.
Who has
I
AOL?
Say, no one but Retta. And
but maybe I should have it.
No,
I'm get
because,
it.
Okay, first of all, Retta,
I have
are,
Gmail
you pay,
too.
Are you paying for AOL?
No, but I got to tell you, I didn't know for a long time that it was free. Someone told me and I was like, you motherfucker. Oh, okay. I was deep in it for a while.
I just want you to know that I have known you have AOL since I've known you, you've had AOL. And in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, Retta must have a crazy relationship to emails, like a wildly chaotic,
and she off doesn't.
The grid relationship to emails if she's still on AOL. Like your AOL is my 516. And I was surprised that you were presenting yourself in the world
as an AOL
with
person.
AOL. Yeah. Like you identify as AOL.
No, I identify as someone who doesn't give up on things and I don't like
God bless.
Changes.
How do you feel about Pinterest? How do you feel about Pinterest, Retta?
I just got into Pinterest just before I bought my house. And I got in deep.
I win again. June said Pinterest was dead
and mocked me openly.
No. I this deep dive Pinterest page is so gorgeous. And then Paul Scheer shamed her and said he pins. And you know, if Paul's pinning, then it's good.
Hold on one second. I want to hear you pronounce the word. Don't say it, Jessica. P-I-N-T-E-R-E-S-T, Retta.
Pinterest.
Did you hear that, Jess?
Like interest.
I did.
You can say Pinterest because some say interest.
Thank you.
It does
say
Pinterest.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. I think I would say that if I'm from Jersey, I'd say that. Anyway.
Okay. Well, I'm shocked that you have AOL. I'm sure there are other AOL.
But I have Gmail. I have iCloud. Different things go to different things.
That doesn't make any sense to me. But you know what I might do is just get a totally new email and then I start from zero. That might be where I go.
Okay.
Just hear me out, okay?
Well, here's what I do.
There
know
has
some
to be.
Yeah, go ahead, Retta.
There has to be some sort of. Here's the thing: you're never any email older than 3 years. Kill it.
Okay.
Kill it with fire.
Wow.
It needs. You're not going back to it. You're not going. If it's not red, it's not going to be red.
Oh,
and
that's
if
so
there's
true.
Information there that you need, you needed it. 5 years ago.
Oh my God.
You don't
Retta,
it.
This is
you
like a
I mean?
Life. This is a way to live
it
your
is.
Life. If you haven't talked to that person in 3 years, delete that contact.
Listen, I started going through the other day and I was like, all right, let me start at 3 years. I started at the bottom of, actually not even 3 years, the bottom of my whatever's still on my email that isn't deleted and isn't in a file. And I just went through and I just selected, like looking at what it was, but selected through. If I got up to something that was interesting, I was like, yeah, it was interesting, but you haven't opened it. You haven't referenced it since in 2011, delete it. So I think I'm up to like 2015 to just get rid of, I want it gone. Mm-hmm. I want it fucking gone because it slows down your computer.
Let me ask you this though. Are you like that in your life? Are you able to, like, do you regret things? Do you move on pretty quickly? Are you able to say, I'm living it? Do you feel like you live in the now? No, you feel like you do regret. You look backwards.
I'm getting better at getting rid of things and being okay. Something that helped me, especially with clothes, you know, my weight goes up and down and then, you know, I lose weight, I get rid of the bigger stuff, you gain weight and you're like, motherfucker, why did I get rid of the clothes? And then, but it's like, the whole point was to move on from that. Mm-hmm. So one thing that's honestly like helped me be okay with not having shit is selling it on Poshmark. And particularly,
this is blowing
this
my mind.
During this quarantine, you're like a psychopath. All these things are going on. Black Lives Matter. All these things are stressing you out. You're getting nothing but like
bad news.
You needing help for, donations, donating to trying to get people out of office that don't deserve there. Mm-hmm. My Poshmark funded all my donations. I sold so much shit. I was like, let me give him money to senators in Florida, to Georgia. Oh my God. If I
that's
didn't
free money.
Get those two senators
we can thank
elected,
Stacey Abrams, and we can also thank your clothing.
That's right. We can thank 100%. An old pair of pants, a pair of jeans you don't want to wear anyway.
Everything,
so fuck it.
Everything I donated pretty much was paid for by selling all my old shit. I mean, I'm still doing it.
Yeah. That is a great
idea. Reda, do you have to bring that shit to the post office? Is there another step to Poshmark, though? Is that
but I'm
frustrating?
Also, I'm like a crazy person.
Oh, my God. I love you so much.
I like shopping. And there's a certain aesthetic to some shopping that you're like, yeah, this is worth the moment. This is worth the time. So I buy special boxes, different sizes. I buy colored paper. I get everything dry cleaned. Here's my thing. Someone's going on Poshmark because they want a deal, but they don't want to feel like they got some raggedy shit.
Yeah.
So I write a note.
Okay.
Reda,
You're going to have a great store someday.
I have a great rating on Poshmark because people love the presentation. I love a presentation.
I love a presentation too. Absolutely love a presentation. How do we get to your Poshmark? You just go on and find it?
Yeah.
Great. I'm interested in seeing your wares.
I'm liking everything about you, of course. I'm now totally obsessed with you. Of course, Deanna is obsessed with you. But I like that you are relishing in the small details of your life. Like in your mantle that I see behind you, I'm like, this is a person who is curating her life to be beautiful. And
well,
that takes time.
It sure does. And Jessica, if you've ever seen, I haven't seen you do it in a while, Reda, but for a long time, I was on Reda's Instagram stories watching her make coffee.
Make my bed.
A cup of Keurig.
what?
And it was so satisfying. It was a really weird itch it scratched for me, Reda. Watching you make that coffee was very satisfying.
It's self-care.
Particularly in this last year and a half, I've had people literally, part of the reason why I do it is I've had people say, this quarantine, I'm losing, especially single gals, saying they're losing their shit. And they're like, at least in the mornings, I feel like I have coffee with you. And I feel like I'm not by myself. You know, because there's some people, especially if they're having the issue with their families
That's
because
beautiful.
Of,
yep.
you know, political breaks in their family, and they can't even like deal with that. A lot of people, I got a lot of messages from people saying they weren't going home for Thanksgiving. They're like, I'm not sitting through that anymore. Or they weren't going home for the holidays because they didn't want to deal with the kind of shit that they sat at a table with and just shut their mouth.
Yes.
And so people were like, they would come on. And of course I got the haters that were like, you know, they didn't agree with some of my, I spoke my views. I spoke my mind on my morning coffee talks.
Thank you.
But I feel like it helped people particularly deal with quarantine. And so they would get up. Some people said they would save it because they live in a different, time zone or whatever. So they would just save it for the morning when they were doing their coffee. And so it literally would give me anxiety. I was like, I have to do it every day because I can't let these girls down that need it.
Lena, that is the most special gift you just gave to, like, I cannot, first of all, I didn't know it was happening. Now I'm going to be all over it. But that you cared about strangers, that you cared about strangers feeling comfort during quarantine is a huge thing.
I enjoy, because sometimes I also, because people are funny. So, you know, if I'm talking about something, people will be like, really? That's what you're doing? And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I probably shouldn't have done that. You know, they'll react. They respond to whatever bullshit I'm talking about while I'm making my coffee.
I love it.
And some people just like,
I was one of those people, Retta. I mean, you're sitting with, I mean, I found it very strangely comforting to watch you take out, what was it, Black Magic? Well, you've got
dark magic
and then dark put magic. It in and then that thing goes over and then that. It was very comforting to me.
Yeah.
And it's a strange as all get out, but it was really, it is comforting. Now, I will say, because we're going to wrap it up, but I did want to tell you this. We have to
cut ourselves. I want more of Retta's wisdom.
We only have Retta for this amount of time.
No, we don't. We have more time for Retta.
But we'll bring her back, hopefully, if we
have. I have a couple more questions.
But I do think, well, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. And it's no surprise to me that, like, you're taking care, that simple act of making your coffee is like taking care of all of these women and, you know, and that you kept on showing up and keep on showing up to do that for them, because this relates to Jessica too. So your mom, Retta, while my dad was very sick, gave my sister a, well, first of all, we were always screen grabbing your mom's texts and sending them. And lots of times she probably doesn't know this, but those screen grabs were also going to like other group texts.
Oh,
so
really?
It was like, yeah.
But I love
she
that.
She said a phrase, which was our mantra for the entirety of my father's illness, which was only believe. And we came back to it over and over again. And it was so powerful. And truly, like, it was a mantra that we texted each other. And, you know, lots of times me and my sisters would, someone would say something about how my dad was doing. And then like Deanna would say, only believe. And then my other sister would chime in and say, only believe. And then I would say, only believe. And it was like this very powerful mantra. And then when Jess got sick with cancer, that was something that Jess, you might not even know this, but that we were saying on private group texts about so it was like, it came from Retta's mom, and then...
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
My mom's super, super spiritual, like your mom. So she felt like she was connected to your mom once, you know, Deanna told her about your mom. She just has, like... So I believe in God. I'm not a big churchgoer. Mm-hmm. But because of my mom's belief... I'm like, all right, she got it. Like, I literally am like...
My mom's doing the work. My mom's like the soldier on the floor. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm raggedy, but Debbie's got it on lock, so I'm just sending it to Deb. Like, I literally, like, I'll be like, hey, I just need you to pray for my friend, such and such. And then, but I got to go. And then she checks in, or she'll ask for an email. I need to email. And she's like, oh, I need to email. Or most of the time between Deanna and my friend Laura and Sandy, they talk to my mother more than I do.
What a wonderful
email. My mother will be like, she's like, oh yeah, Sandy called me last night. I was like, she did, because she called me back. She did not call me back.
Yes.
My mother is just, I think, you know, that nurturing thing, you know, we had a lot of people that lived in our house growing up, you know, which we didn't always appreciate. But like one of my brother's girlfriends lived in our house for a while because she was not, you know, content at home. Yeah. Many a cousin. Now, you know, thank God my brother's had kids, because now she's got the boys that can come in the house. You know what I mean? Otherwise, she'd probably go crazy not having noise. And even though she complains, like, oh, they wore me out. I'm like, did they, though?
She loves it. You know? But that's where you got it, Retta. That's obviously your caretaking and your nurturing. What you must have got it from. I love Debbie.
She's very special. And I just thought that was so, she really offered my whole, I mean, you know this, but she also
was
a part of the team.
She also types in all caps.
Yeah, sure.
Oh my God. She has got important stuff
to say. I've seen
her
emails. Like, you don't know this, Retta, but like emails were forwarded. Like, we were getting her on the case. Like, she was, we had like, you know, Memorial Sloan Kettering and my dad's oncologist and like his physical therapist and Retta's mom, like very much so part of the team. I kid you not. Like, and honestly, on equal footing.
Oh my God.
Like, very much so on
That's because she's like, you know, we talk about light, the teams of light, right, Retta? Yeah. You're on board for the Laura Lynn Jackson. Like, we have the people who have passed who are working for us from the beyond. Mm-hmm. But I feel like your mother is one foot there and here. Don't you feel like she's like a foot soldier, but like she is also connected there.
Yeah. My, you know, they do. She goes, literally, I'll call and she's like, oh, I couldn't answer. We were on the prayer line. So her and her girls get on. They literally, like, people will bring the people that are supposed to be on the prayer line and they will stay on the prayer line and cover everyone. So literally I'd be like,
oh my God,
can you put guy in on the prayer line? You know, he's in the hospital, that kind of thing.
That's
literally
her. But that
she
is,
goes,
that's,
she goes, we prayed about you on the prayer line. You're going to get a job. You're going to get a job.
I love that.
Can you put me on that prayer line? Because I just found out I got to give 50% to UK on this recent job. It's not enough.
Yeah.
50%.
40% goes to the queen. And that's just how it works. Now, did I know that when I said yes? No, of course not. Did I know it midway through this job? Sure. But
Retta, I'm going to, we will ask you back at another time. I hope you will come back. I do want to ask you a little bit about this show as we wrap it up. Can you tell us coming out in 2022? What do we have to look forward to? And is my home future?
So, like I said, it's the ugliest house in America. People submitted their homes to hopefully get crowned the ugliest house in America because there was a renovation for the ugliest. So I went up to 12 homes, toured 12 homes, and we renovated one. So it was... We did the West, Midwest, Southeast, and South, or East and South. So it's supposed to come out in January. They were trying to do September, but I think the turnaround was a little too much. So
did you love being in people's houses? Did it feel comfortable to you to like get involved in people's spaces, or was it strange?
Like, I love looking at people's homes. Like,
yeah,
it's a weird, you know, like interesting. I love just seeing what people choose to put together, what they choose to show off, that kind of thing. And there's always a story. Like in my house, I know there's lots of stories. I know there are people who will look at something and be like, really? That's such-? And I'd be like, oh, for my friend's birthday, there's a story to something. So I enjoy that. But like I said, these are the ugliest houses in America. So some are like...
Stop.
There's one, I don't know when this is coming out, but there's one where when the woman was like, yeah, and I was just sitting here and then a snake fell out of it. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
What?
Yeah. And then now, how am I going to be comfortable in this home? You just told me a snake fell from the ceiling.
If you've got ceiling snakes, I'm not coming inside.
And then, of course, while we're standing there, something fell. It was, it was, yes, it wasn't an animal, but it was something fell. And I was like, God.
Yeah. I can't. I cannot.
So, it is interesting.
I can't wait to get my eyeballs on this. And I'm so excited that you are gracing the hallowed halls of HGTV. That's a real...
You could retire.
You've made it.
That's it. That's all I've ever wanted.
You've arrived. Okay?
Yes.
The prayer line has worked.
Yes.
The prayer line can
The prayer line
you
got you there, honey. And you will be on that show for the next 55 years if you want to be.
Deep divers, please, of course, check out The Ugliest House in America. Retta is on Good Girls, and you can follow her on Twitter at Unforrettable and on Instagram at Unforrettable. And I am so grateful that you came on, Retta, and just adore your parents. And thank you so much, Retta.
Thanks, ladies.
Okay,
we'll
talk
for you, Retta, by the way. I'm coming for you.
Have a good afternoon. Please let me know when you get rid of all those red dots.
I will. For you, I will.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review. And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more. We'll see you next time.